You know, if you just look at the world around you, everything is fundamentally composed of, well, named parts.
Right.
And we get those names not just from their shape, but from their function.
Right.
That old telephone on a desk isn't just a red blob. It's a casing, a dial, a handset. That
Yeah.
car isn't just one shape. It's a body, four wheels, doors. We, as humans, we just instinctively know the name and, more importantly, the purpose, the affordance of all these little components.
And that's exactly where computer vision really struggles. The challenge, especially in the 3D world, is bridging that huge gap between pure geometry and, consistent human language.
Okay.
A computer can use math to segment an object, sure, but how do you teach it to not just see the boundary of a car door, but to call it a door every single time, whether it's on a sedan or a truck or even a spaceship? That inconsistency, that's what we call the semantic bottleneck.
Okay, so let's unpack that and get right to the solution. Our sources today detail some new research that's designed specifically to break that bottleneck. The mission for this deep dive is a full breakdown of a method called Align Parts. And it's a novel, one-shot method that promises to bring robust, function-aware, semantic naming to pretty much any 3D model.
And the most important thing you need to know about Align Parts right up front is that it doesn't just solve the problem, it solves it with incredible efficiency. This whole thing is about giving 3D geometry a consistent language, and it does it by processing named part segmentation 100 times faster than previous methods.
100 times faster. Wow.
That speed just fundamentally changes the game for 3D data creation.
Yeah, 100 times is not just a little step up. That's a disruption. But before we get into how Align Parts works, we have to really understand the problem it's solving. Why has this been such a tough nut to crack for so long?
It really comes down to what the research calls the traditional segmentation gap. Almost every advanced 3D task you can think of, a robot needing to grab a specific handle, or a game designer wanting to edit the fuselage of a plane, it all requires part understanding.
But the old methods just, they fall short.
They fall into these categories that are just not good enough for scaling up.
And based on the research, the failure points seem to hinge on either focusing too much on the math or.
Or too little on the context, precisely. On one side, you have these purely geometric approaches. Think of methods like part field. They're excellent at seeing where shape changes, boundaries, sharp edges.
Okay, so they're great at the geometry. They see the curves.
Exactly. But they produce what the paper calls, kind of dryly, unnamed regions. They see the distinct shape of a bottle's neck, but they can't call it a neck. It's just an unnamed blob of points to the machine.
It's like having all the pieces of a puzzle scattered on the floor. You can see the jagged edges where they connect, but you have no picture on the box, no labels on the pieces.
That's a perfect analogy. Then you have the second group, the language-grounded systems like Find3D.
Right.
These systems can find a single part if you ask them. You type in find the wheel, and it'll give you the wheel. But they can't give you a complete named breakdown of the entire object in one go.
So it's query by query, slow.
Very slow. It needs a human prompt for every single part.
So with a complex model like an office chair, I don't want to have to ask, where's the seat? Now where's the backrest? Now where's the liver? I just want the system to instantly say, seat, base, casters, backrest, all in one go, no overlaps.
That holistic one-shot decomposition is the core problem.
Yeah.
And to make it even worse, the training data we have, the stuff made by humans, is often really inconsistent.
Oh, of course.
One person in a data set like PartNet might define a wheel as just the hub, another includes the tire. The models trained on that learn these weak, ambiguous definitions.
Which brings us to Align Parts. You said it borrows a principle from 2D vision.
Yes. It solves this through what's called direct set alignment, which is inspired by 2D object detectors like DETR. So instead of trying to classify every single point, which is just brutally slow and inconsistent, it thinks in chunks.
And the key component here is something called the partlet. That sounds like jargon, but it's a really brilliant shortcut, isn't it?
It is. The old way, the slow way, tries to label maybe tens of thousands of individual points. Align Parts just says no. Instead, it breaks the whole shape down into a small, fixed number of representations. These are the partlets. The model uses a max of, I think, k equals 32.
Wait, only 32? That seems really low.
Yeah.
What if you have something super complex, like a jet engine with hundreds of little components? Wouldn't that be a problem?
That's a great question, and it's a really common one. The key is that a partlet isn't a single geometric piece. It's more of an abstract contextual representation. It doesn't need 10 partlets for 10 different bolts. A single partlet can aggregate the features across all the points that belong to one conceptual part. It carries the semantic meaning.
Okay, so the partlet is basically a compressed feature set that holds all the context. A single point on a chair back tells me very little. But the partlet for the entire backrest says, I am a vertical padded thing next to a horizontal seat thing.
Exactly. That aggregation is what makes it so robust. So once you have these 32 partlets, the second step is the alignment. The model matches these partlets to a set of candidate part descriptions using a process called bipartite assignment.
Wait, hold on. Bipartite assignment. Let's break that down because that sounds like heavy math. What does it actually do?
Think of it like a dating app, but for, you know, parts and names. You have your 32 partlets on one side, those are your candidates, and you have your list of possible names on the other. Bipartite assignment just finds the single best, cleanest match between the two sets, a clean one-to-one mapping.
So if a partlet is clearly a door, no other partlet can also be called a door on that same object.
That's the consistency it enforces. And to handle the fuzziness of it all, they use a tool called differentiable optimal transport, or Sinkhorn matching. You don't need the math, just the idea. It finds the best overall match that minimizes the cost of mismatches across the whole set.
I see. And because you're only matching 32 partlets to 32 names, instead of thousands of points to thousands of labels, the computation just plummets. That has to be where the 100x speedup comes from.
And it ensures a clean output. Each partlet gets at most one name. Each name is used at most once. It's totally consistent.
But back to my other question.
Oh.
What about simple objects? If I have a coffee mug with maybe four parts rim, handle, body, base, does the model still try to spit out 32 useless chunks?
And that is the genius part. The model is trained with a null class. It has its 32 conceptual buckets. If a partlet is generated but it doesn't really align with any real part, say partlets 5 through 32 for our mug, they get assigned the null class.
And just get thrown out?
Instantly discarded. So the number of named parts adapts dynamically for each shape. You get a perfect, clean segmentation of exactly four parts for the mug.
That is incredibly elegant. Wow. Okay, before we get to the language models, there's one more technical thing that helps with the speed. It's how they combine the visual and geometric features.
The bicofusion, bidirectional cross-attention. To really understand a part, you need both the 3D geometry, the shape, and the appearance features from images, you know, the texture. Fusing those two is normally very expensive.
Because standard attention would compare every single data point to every other data point, and the complexity just explodes.
Exactly. That's an all-or-dollar process, which is a massive bottleneck. Instead, they cleverly fuse the features using cross-attention that only operates on a local graph of the k equals 16 nearest neighbors.
Okay, translate that for us. What does that mean in practice?
It means the model stops wasting time checking every point against every other point on the whole object. It restricts the conversation. A point on a car's fender is only allowed to talk to the 16 points closest to it, which are probably other points on the fender, the hood, or the wheel. It doesn't waste cycles asking a point on the roof about its relationship to the exhaust pipe.
So by forcing these local conversations where the context is relevant, they cut the complexity from that global free-for-all $22 down to a much more manageable not dollars. And it's a huge piece of the efficiency puzzle.
It's a really critical piece of engineering.
Here is where it gets really interesting for you, the learner, the semantic secret sauce. The model needs more than shape and visuals. It needs language that explains meaning, function.
Right. Ally Gene Parts combines three critical signals: the geometry features, the appearance features, and the real game changer. Semantic knowledge from large language model generated affordance descriptions.
Affordance? That's about how an object supports an action.
Mm-hmm.
So why is a description of function so much better than just a simple name?
Because generic names are just contextually bankrupt. Let's use the handle example again. If you just label a part handle, the model has to learn that this one word applies to a thin door lever, a thick mug loop, a T-bar on a scooter. The geometry is all over the place.
But the function is universal.
The function is so much less ambiguous. And this is where the paper talks about using LLMs, you know, models like Gemini 2.5 Flash, to ground the part, not just in its shape, but in what it's for.
So instead of just tagging a part as seat, the language model gives it a rich description, like the horizontal surface, usually padded, where a person sits.
Exactly. And that forces the geometry features, which see the flatness, and the appearance features, which see the padding to align with a cognitive human definition of purpose. That's how it learns that a wooden park bench and a cushy office chair have the same functional part.
Now, to make this work, the choice of the language encoder was absolutely critical. They actually hit a snag with some standard models, right? They couldn't use something like SIGLIP. They had to go with MPNET. Why was that so important?
It's a subtle but fascinating point. SIGLIP, which is great for pairing short captions with images, basically, it pathologically collapsed the semantic space when it saw these long, detailed affordance descriptions.
Collapse the space.
It means that if you took the AI's internal representation for a wheel and compared it to the one for a door, SIGLIP said they were almost identical. It assigned uniformly high similarity to both, completely ruining the structure you need to tell parts apart. It couldn't see that a door and a wheel have totally different functions.
So it was reading the words but missing the actual meaning, the difference in purpose.
Correct. MPNET, on the other hand, was much better at preserving the structure for these sentence-level embeddings. It correctly grouped similar parts, like all types of wheels, while keeping different parts, like a pedal and an airplane stabilizer, semantically far apart. That choice was key to making the whole affordance thing work.
That's a perfect example of how one small technical choice can make or break an entire architecture.
Okay, let's talk application. A-Line in Parts is fast, it's smart. Where do you actually use this?
Its main application is as a scalable annotation engine. It's meant to break that data bottleneck we talked about at the beginning. We can't rely on slow, inconsistent manual labeling forever. And they started by just unifying the chaos,
right?
Standardizing the existing definitions.
They used LIN parts as the engine to harmonize the part definitions across three massive, previously inconsistent datasets: PartNet, 3D Compat, Plus Date, and Fine 3D.
And the result was this single unified language for 3D parts.
A huge, cohesive ontology. It consists of 1,794 unique named 3D parts.
That's incredible. And once they had that solid foundation, they could start creating new data faster than ever.
Absolutely. The model was used to bootstrap annotations for thousands of raw meshes, creating a new dataset called TextParts. And this is where that 100x speed difference really translates into savings for the human workers.
How much faster is it for the actual human annotator?
The research shows it reduces the human effort required for verification by 5 to 8 times compared to starting from a blank slate. For any company with huge 3D asset libraries, that's a game changer.
That sounds amazing, but I'm always a little skeptical of systems that claim to be fast. How does it stay accurate? A human still has to check the work. But how does the system make sure they're only checking the hard stuff?
That's where their clever workflow comes in. They call it inference mode 1, closed vocabulary with confidence calibration. For known categories, it makes a prediction and then gives a statistical check on that prediction, a Mahalanobis distance-based confidence score.
Mahalanobis distance. Okay, that's more jargon. How does that work, like, intuitively?
Think of it as a measure of weirdness.
Yeah.
The model is trained on this giant cloud of normal, known data. The Mahalanobis score just measures how far a new prediction is from the center of that normal cloud. If it's really close to the norm, say, above a high threshold of 0.8, it gets auto-accepted. Only the predictions that are statistically weird, the low-confidence ones, get flagged for a human to review.
So they've built a system that filters out the easy, obvious 90% of the work and makes sure the human expert focuses only on that difficult, ambiguous 10%. That's a brilliant workflow optimization.
Precisely. And just briefly, they also have an open vocabulary mode. In that mode, the system can match its partlets to any new user-provided description, supporting totally novel objects it's never seen, all because of that robust semantic space from the affordance descriptions.
So to sum up this deep dive, A-Line Parts has successfully given semantic language, consistent names, to what were previously just mute 3D geometric structures. And it did it by fusing geometry, appearance, and this crucial function-aware language through a brand new high-speed architecture.
The practical impact is just undeniable. This moves us away from the tedious, inconsistent manual annotation that's held back 3D for decades and moves us toward an automated, human-aligned understanding that can finally scale up the datasets we need for robotics, for AR, for everything.
So what does this all mean for you, the learner, the designer, the person building these next-gen AI tools?
Well, if we can instantly and reliably segment and name every part of an object based on its intended function, its affordance, it just completely changes how we can interact with things. Imagine design software where you select a part not by drawing a box, but just by typing its function. Or what new, truly intuitive robotic systems open up when a machine can instantly understand the purpose of a new object just by looking at its shape and connecting it to our language. This kind of robust semantic grounding, it's the key that unlocks the next generation of intuitive 3D AI.